SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We've got games tonight, games tomorrow night, games on Saturday. Looking forward to previewing them all with you here on the show. Fantasy Sports Today every day, noon to 2 Eastern, right here on Sports Grid, sportsgrid.com. Whether you're watching us or listening to us, thanks for making us a part of your day. Davis, it's here. Week one of the NFL preseason. Seems like we have some teams that are willing to throw out some players that are going to be relevant to us. We have other teams that are not interested at all. And I think over the next few days, we'll get a clearer picture as to what some of these players, especially the rookies, look like in 2021.
Yeah, I do think we are actually going to get a good look at some of these rookies tonight. You know, particularly, I would imagine we're going to see a lot of guys for the New England Patriots because they are in heavy trying to figure out what's going on with their rotation mode. How much are they going to play Cam Newton? Mac Jones is debuting his new number tonight. I did see that. I think we're going to see some Ramondre Stevenson. I think we are going to see some N'Keal Harry. Don't think we will see any of their pass-catching additions. You know, don't think we're going to see Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor, anything like that. But I actually think we are going to see some pretty interesting football tonight. Maybe that's a little bit of a hot take, but I'm actually pretty excited for this first game this evening.
And we'll have it all covered for you here today on this show. Scott Farrell, in-game live tonight, helping you make your decisions on the action this evening. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. 12th of August, 2021. As we mentioned, preseason begins this evening. Joe Pizzapia is going to join us a little bit later in the show, tell you about our new show on Sunday, talk more preseason coming up. Dak Prescott scheduled for another MRI, and we'll get a much clearer picture on his future, at least immediate future with the Cowboys. Miguel Cabrera hit another home run last night, so he is one shy of 500. Less than 30 players have hit 500 home runs in Major League Baseball. Cabrera is getting ready to do that. That should be fun to see. And another thing that should be fun, Davis, and look, I mean, this is definitely worth at least 5 minutes of your time, I would think, is that the White Sox and the Yankees are going to be playing at the Field of Dreams in Iowa. And I was on the morning after talking about betting that game. I don't know that I'm all that interested in that, Davis, but I am interested in seeing how this thing looks, like a very unique type place to play a baseball game. And I, of course, grew up in the 80s, so I watched Field of Dreams, one of my favorite baseball movies for sure. So I think it's must-watch five-minute TV at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I think you at least have to flip it on, right? Like, I don't think anyone would disagree with that. So this is one of those movies, though, and Craig, you are absolutely going to hate this, but this is one of those movies that I know that I have absorbed through cultural osmosis. I don't think I have watched the entirety of Field of Dreams. I think most of what I know from Field of Dreams comes from, like, you know, references on The Simpsons, references, in other movies, things like that. Like, I would imagine I have not seen all of this movie, but of course I know the Field of Dreams. Like, I get it, you know, like all of that stuff. Like, I understand it. But yeah, I don't think I've seen all of this movie. So there's another strike in my corner for being too young.
Well, you know, and Greg Sussman's throwing something right now, probably. But, you know, the truth is that in the 80s and in the 90s, before the strike in baseball, Davis, look, baseball was very much the sport in this country. And so from a nostalgia point of view, the way that this movie was done, and remember the number one actor, but Kevin Costner at that time, and even further down the line, was probably one of the top male actors in Hollywood. And this was a iconic baseball movie, but I would not indict you for that, because even if you did see the movie, I don't think that you would come out of there, Davis, you personally, saying, oh my gosh, like, thank goodness I watched the movie. Because for anybody who grew up like me watching baseball and having that nostalgia, it was a lot more important. Does the movie hold up now still to this day? Absolutely. But I think it is honestly okay. It's more of an older crowd type movie. The Natural is another one of those, I think, also, but definitely a feel good movie. And what's interesting to me is seeing a lot of people like yourself, Davis, who are all scrambling right now to watch it. I'm seeing that a lot on social media. Like, I've never seen this before. I got to check it out before the game tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. So highly recommended for me. It's probably in my top three baseball movies of all time. And for sure, I mean, I don't know how much time I'll dedicate to this thing tonight, but at least 5 minutes. I mean, I want to see the cornfields. I want to see how this thing plays. It's definitely fascinating for sure. Which NFL preseason game are you most interested in tonight, Dave? So we got 1 minute. Which game for you is going to be your most watched game?
You know, I am definitely most interested in the Patriots one, because I think that we can learn about fantasy football from that game. Like, I would anticipate some meaningful lessons. Like, I think we're going to see, you know, is Ramondre Stevenson a guy they're going to throw the ball to? How does Mac Jones look, right? There's been a lot of conversation about, okay, well, you know, what is really the deal with Mac Jones? Like, are they actually going to turn the keys over to him? And I think if he plays well in this game, that's just going to be another, you know, another check mark, another tick in the corner of starting Mac Jones sooner rather than later this season.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see tonight, games tonight. I'll be back at the baseball park, I think, tomorrow night, barring something crazy, although my life has been crazy recently, so you never know. But I'll be checking it out, too. We'll be recapping it for you tomorrow here on Fantasy Sports Today. Our first NFL recap will be tomorrow right here on the show. How about that? All right, training camp notes coming up next. We'll tell you the latest. We got some really obscure-type names today, but it could be interesting for you, so I would stay on the grid. It'll help you. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Fantasy Sports Today, as we're here on August 12th. We're basically about a month into NFL training camp. And for those of you who follow it from a fantasy aspect, this year, training camp is still kind of going on beyond this week. But in general, when the NFL preseason begins, camps break. And then, of course, they have preseason games. In the past, it was four. This year it is three. So in terms of our training camp notes moving forward here on our show, it'll most likely be our fantasy football preseason notes, because teams now, of course, are playing games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this week, next week, and the following week. So nothing like capping off our training camp, Davis, with two names that are probably not on a lot of people's radar this season. One I'm not very happy with, because this was a horrible pick in my dynasty league. Andy Isabella, he's on the COVID list for the second time during training camp, and I don't even want to look at these stats. I guess we have to, because it's part of the show, but this was a pretty busted pick for me. And, you know, Arizona has just not found a way to get him highly involved in the offense. If I go back, Davis, and I remember when Andy Isabella was drafted, I could have sworn there were a million people telling me they're going to find a way to get him involved in the offense. They never did. I don't know if it was Larry Fitzgerald just hanging on toward the end of his career. Did that hurt him? I'm not really sure. I have visions of Andy Isabella, Davis, twice a year for an 80-yard touchdown and nothing else. That's kind of the memory that I have here of Isabella. So at this point, what would it require for him to be on the field? And is there a chance he's not even on the team? I hate to say it, but I got to feel like there's a chance of that.
I think he will probably make the team because he plays on special teams. He's like a good punt and kick returner. He can play as a gunner on the kick team and stuff as well. So I think he'll probably make the team. Also, when you run the offensive system that the Cardinals run, you need to have lots of wide receivers because you rotate them in the game. You know, a wide receiver injury when you play four wide receivers kind of as your base personnel is a big injury. Like, you know, if AJ Green gets injured, they probably would maybe even keep seven wide receivers. So I think he'll probably make the team. The issue is they spent the high pick on him several years ago. They drafted him in the second round. They just spent a second round pick on Rondale Moore as well. But they signed AJ Green. Larry Fitzgerald is not there anymore. But I guess he is at best fifth in line. Behind DeAndre Hopkins, behind AJ Green, behind Christian Kirk, and behind Rondale Moore. And if it was going to happen for him, I think he would have had to have had a very good preseason, and he did not have a very good preseason, right? As evidenced by the fact that we're talking about him being on the COVID list. That's not a situation you want to be in if you're kind of fighting to stay on the roster. So my thought is, look, I love Dandy Isabella. Guy ran a 4.3. Guy had, he played at the University of Massachusetts and had 15 receptions and 200 yards and two touchdowns against Georgia. You know, a real David and Goliath story. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is probably going to be the last year we see Andy Isabella in the NFL unless something miraculous happens.
Yeah, my Dynasty League, I let him go and he was minimum price too in terms of salary. Okay, well, the Rams situation is certainly interesting from a running back perspective. Cam Akers, by the way, another guy I have that's not going to be playing for me this year. So my trend continues here. I also have Mims on the Jets. You can tell I'm not a good drafter. Xavier Jones is on the Rams. He's the backup right now to Daryl Henderson. His ADP is 16th round. He is, yes, a free player right now in fantasy. I mean, 15th round to me is free. Undrafted rookie in 2020. Didn't play any snaps at SMU. I don't know anything about this player, and so I'm going to be learning along with everybody else here when he makes his debut in the preseason this weekend. Let's talk about Xavier Jones.
So I actually think Xavier Jones is fairly interesting. He scored 25 touchdowns his final season at SMU and was a pretty productive player, you know, worked in the passing game. And I think the fact that they have not signed a veteran, right? They haven't signed Todd Gurley. They haven't traded for Melvin Gordon. They have not done any of those things. I feel like that's a real vote of confidence in Xavier Jones saying, look, you know, he's going to be good enough to pass block. He's going to be good enough to spell Daryl Henderson. You know, and there is probably some threat that Daryl Henderson is in more of a Raheem Mostert-style role. You know, like I think probably he ends up being more like, I am very bullish on Daryl Henderson, but there is a chance he ends up in like, you know, let's say a 13 carry, four target style role, as opposed to an 18 carry, five target per game role. And in that eventuality, you know, Xavier Jones would be the handcuff. Xavier Jones would be the guy getting those 8-10 touches a game, kind of like, you know, your Jerick McKinnons or your Tevin Coleman's, if we want to make the Shanahan analogy. So I like Xavier Jones, and I do think in terms of like running backs who are actually free in drafts right now, he probably has one of the upside cases that you can sell yourself the best on, because he really is likely one injury away from getting real touches and real playing time in an offense that we expect to be quite good.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't believe I do like the coach there, of course, in Sean McVay. I just don't believe him. I think that before the end of the preseason, they're going to bring someone else in. It may not be a fantasy relevant player, but I don't think they're going to go into the season with what they have here. But that's just me. That's my guess. Okay, now finally, look, this is a huge story for us as we continue on here in fantasy. I mean, the big one is Deshaun Watson, clearly, because wherever he goes, I think is going to change things for both Houston and somewhere else, and I do think he's going to get moved. Dak Prescott, another MRI here, not really sure kind of where things are at. I know, Davis, the fandom in you has you optimistic, and I just don't know where to go here. He's a fifth-round, sixth-round pick in fantasy this year, and he says that he doesn't want to throw for 6,000 yards. I mean, he's not going to have a choice, Davis, if the defense is what it was last year. That's my only retort to Dak Prescott, but my gosh, am I waiting on results here and different things with him? It's just he's a pivotal player again, and him missing any time in the regular season is going to affect all of those offensive players significantly. I mean, Zeke was nothing basically without him. CeeDee Lamb went the other way. Amari Cooper, they just didn't have a quarterback, and I don't know that their backup situation is much better this year.
Their backup situation is worse, right? Andy Dalton, at least, is an NFL quarterback, and he's not a very good one, but Andy Dalton, you know, has had it like led a 10-win NFL team before. Their backup quarterback situation now is brutal. Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci are the backup quarterbacks for the Dallas Cowboys. I've seen enough of Ben DiNucci and Cooper Rush to last a lifetime. You know, I never want to see those guys play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys ever again. I think Dak is full of crap here when he says he doesn't want to throw for 6,000 yards. Now, the MRI is a legitimate concern. Maybe they just want to make sure that there's no structural damage. You know, maybe they just want to get him in the MRI and say, okay, MRI looks good. We're going to clear you to, you know, basically come back to practice and, you know, be Dak again, right? Start throwing. Maybe we even get him in some preseason action. If you wanted to be positive, that's what you'd say. If you wanted to be negative, you'd say Amari Cooper is not going to be worth a fourth-round pick if Ben DiNucci is the quarterback. You know, Zeke Elliott's not going to be a first-round pick if Ben DiNucci is the guy handing him the ball. So I am cautiously optimistic. The thing I would say in drafts, though, is this: the upside for this Cowboys offense that we saw for 4.5 games last year is so great. I mean, they could be the number one offense in fantasy. They could be like those 2013 Denver Broncos where, like, you know, they had five guys all finish top 12 in their position that year. That even if you're kind of worried about Dak, I think you still got to take Zeke, Lamb, Cooper, Gallup, even Jarwin and Schultz. I think they're all great selections, even with this risk baked in.
I think this weekend we'll get some more clarity, of course. Jerry Jones usually talks after the preseason games, like he's the coach. I think we'll probably get more clarity Saturday or Friday, depending on which day he decides to talk. All right, coming up next, we're going to make some choices here in fantasy for the season. Are you taking Mike Evans or Chris Godwin at wide receiver for the Bucs? How about the Jacksonville Jaguars? There's a running back decision to be made there. Great year for James Robinson, but then they bring in Travis Etienne. And then the Denver Broncos are calling it an open competition for their quarterback spot. Does Drew Lock win it? Does Teddy Bridgewater win it? Who do you draft in fantasy in a super flex league? We'll answer those questions coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. Davis and I will be right back in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Nish along with David Maddox. Just a quick note from baseball before we get back to football here. Chicago Cubs waive unconditionally their former Cy Young Award winner, former World Series champion Jake Arrieta, who once upon a time, Davis, was the very best pitcher in fantasy baseball for about a year and a half. Last night, he got drilled again. and I guess in the post game, he made a comment to a reporter about taking off their mask, saying basically there was no one around, you could take it off. I don't know if that factored into this at all. Maybe it's just the fact that he just keeps getting pummeled, Davis. But, you know, Chris Davis of the Orioles retired today. We see Jake Arrieta getting cut. It's like 2014, 2015 is waving us bye-bye on this day.
Yeah, they're saying, hey, remember when Chris Davis used to hit 39 home runs and strike out 42% of the time? You remember that? Mm-hmm. Remember when Jake Arrieta was good? Good riddance to Jake Arrieta. Who cares? I did kind of like Chris Davis when he played, though. Talk about a depressing career. I mean, watching that guy play the last couple of years of his career, though, well, the Orioles paid him all this money, so I guess they're going to bat him. I mean, it was very depressing to watch Chris Davis play.
Yeah, it definitely was toward the end. All right, back to the NFL. Let's get to it here. Buccaneers have two, what do we call them here, third-round receivers, I think, in fantasy football. These guys actually moved down a little bit, it feels like, from last year. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, let's take a look at the numbers. ADP for Evans is 38. ADP for Godwin is 42. So this is a personal choice on these two players, that's for sure. 70 receptions for Evans. 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. He was more or less a touchdown guy toward the end of the year. I think he was dealing with injuries, if I'm not mistaken. And Chris Godwin had a hard time staying healthy too last year, and certainly his numbers would indicate that. 65 receptions, 840 yards, 7 touchdowns. Davis, I know I've made my choice in the Razz Bowl. I need you to make yours.
Yeah, I prefer Godwin by a little bit. I feel like Godwin's numbers are mostly going to be buoyed by efficiency. I don't expect Mike Evans to be as efficient in terms of touchdowns as he was last season. And he was very efficient in terms of touchdowns. So I don't want to take that away from him or anything like that. But and if he scores 14 touchdowns again, you know, I'll take my medicine and say, all right, I got that one wrong. Mike Evans is the primary red zone weapon for a team that's going to score a lot of points, that has a lot of good players. But Antonio Brown is a real problem for both of these guys. That's why neither of them are going up in the second round or anything. According to all reports, Antonio Brown was dealing with a knee injury last season. He rehabbed that successfully over the offseason. He looks great. He's having a great training camp. We haven't heard any of these weird, stories about Antonio Brown. We haven't heard about him getting arrested. We haven't heard about him, you know, having to go to court for anything. So that's a pretty big change from the way we've been talking about Antonio Brown for each of the last two seasons. I don't know if he'll be able to stay healthy for 17 games. I think he's entering his age 34 season. Godwin has always been my guy, though. I just expect him to I think he'll lead this team in yards per target, in fantasy points per target, yards per route run. So Godwin, a few picks after Mike Evans, is the guy that I prefer here.
All right, and I am the same. I took Godwin over Evans, if it gives you an idea of what I'm thinking going into the season as well. All right, at running back, the Jacksonville Jaguars certainly did not give a rousing endorsement to James Robinson, who was basically the fantasy football pickup of the year last year. Robinson's ADP is 101 this year, and boy, this is actually shocking here as I look at this. Are you telling me Etienne is 5 rounds higher than Robinson going into the season? Okay. 1,000 yards for Robinson, 344 receiving yards, and 10 touchdowns last year. Etienne in college, of course, was a monster, but these numbers are irrelevant. He played at Clemson. Bottom line is that the Jaguars really, I think, reached here to take Etienne, who I think can be a fantastic running back, but it creates an interesting fantasy dynamic going into the season. So, Davis, there is some separation here, about 3-round separation between these two backs. Do they have it right here?
Oh, yeah, they definitely have it right, because the reason why James Robinson was so effective last year was he had absolutely no competition. The 2020 Jacksonville Jaguars, their other running backs were Dare Ogunbowale. He got 32 carries. Then Chris Thompson got 7. So of the team's 337 rushing attempts, 240 of them went to James Robinson. He had other than Derrick Henry, the largest share of his team's rushing attempts of any running back in the NFL. He also saw 60 targets. That was good for 4th on the team, tied with Chris Conley. That opportunity is not going to be there for him this season. They clearly taking Trevor Lawrence's college teammate, Travis Etienne, in the back end of the first round. That was a concerted decision by this coaching staff. Also, unfortunately for James Robinson and how well he played last season, this is not the coaching staff that signed him. This is not the coaching staff that turned over that starting running back job to him. It's a new coaching staff, new front office. What do new coaching staffs do? What do new front offices do? They give it to their guys. They play the guys that they wanted. Carlos Hyde, who is not mentioned on this list, I think Carlos Hyde is going to eat in to James Robinson's work. And I think the smartest thing that I have seen Urban Meyer and his coaching staff do is they've talked about what Etienne can do as a pass catcher. And I think that is the best way to use him. What do we want in fantasy from our running backs? We want receptions and we want touchdowns. James Robinson might get 120 carries. They're all going to be in between the 20s. They're not. It's not going to be what you want. It's going to be kind of Gus Edwards, but for a worse rushing offense. So I definitely prefer Travis Etienne.
All right. Makes sense between those two. Well, the Denver Broncos, after another disappointing offensive season, went out and they signed Teddy Bridgewater. But Teddy B still has to contend with former high pick Drew Lock, who specifically was told to work on specific things this offseason. And he talked about some of the ways that he's trying to get better.
The biggest step that, you know, I tried to make, and it was, you know, kind of reiterated to me over this offseason, was just working on protections, knowing where I'm hot and knowing how to fix it. And if they get us, we didn't see it, just knowing where that hot's going to be and where that hot's coming from. And that's kind of been a big emphasis on me watching film this offseason, coming out here every day. Just being able to have us picked up, whether that's 7-on-7. I know that sounds funny because it's 7-on-7, but they still bring pressures in 7-on-7 to show us. There's just a lot that goes into it. I'd say that was one of the big things I really tried to focus on in my footwork. There's a lot of work that went in this offseason to try to fine-tune that footwork, and it's changed a little bit, but I feel really comfortable with it. I'm excited to see where it goes.
We're going to see where it goes in the preseason for sure. Both quarterbacks will play a lot in week one and week two, and then they'll have to make the decision. Let's see if we can make the decision in fantasy. Clearly, if you're starting either of these two guys in a 12 or 15 team league as your starter, you fail. But in a super flex league, I guess we got to pick a winner here, Davis. And certainly, you know, lock season left a lot to be desired, a lot of turnovers. Teddy Bridgewater for Carolina started off the season really a student of the Joe Brady offense. He looked fantastic. And then McCaffrey got hurt and all kinds of things went sideways for him. And he didn't look nearly as good in the second half of the season as he did the first. But there is an opportunity for one of these two. The Denver people seem to think that Bridgewater is just there to push Lock. I don't know if you feel that's accurate or not, but if you have to pick one on draft day, who do you got?
No, I do not think that Teddy Bridgewater was brought in to the Denver Broncos organization for a six-round pick to push Drew Lock. I think it was to give them a safety valve. It does seem like Drew Lock is going to start the season because Drew Lock is the guy organizationally that they have invested in. But I do not think there's a great chance of him going 16 games. So they do start the year, I guess if you wanted to be charitable, they do start the year with a real cake schedule. They're going to play against the Giants. They're going to play against the Jaguars. Then they get a home game against the Jets. That's about as easy of a three-game schedule to start the year that you can get. After that, though, then they are going to play at home to the Ravens. I think if they get skunked in that game and, you know, Drew Lock throws like four interceptions and gets sacked a bunch, that's about the time that I expect to see Teddy Bridgewater. And I also think we've seen Teddy be successful inside of good structure before. You're right, the Carolina Panthers thing did go sideways. But the Broncos are kind of like a souped-up version of last year's Panthers, right? So they have Sutton, they have Judy, they have Fant, they have Hamler, they have Tim Patrick, probably one of the best fourth wide receivers in the NFL. They have Drew Lock's college roommate, Albert Okwuegbunam. They have Javonte Williams, you know, that exciting young running back from the University of North Carolina. Like, they have all the pieces to make one of these guys successful if they're playing well. If Drew Lock finds a way to play well and limit the turnovers, sure. But I think Bridgewater is more likely to be that guy. I'll never get this Drew Lock quote out of my head, though. I bet you remember this one. After one of the games last year, he was awful, and he said, yeah, sometimes I'm in the middle of making a pass or it just leaves my hand, and I think in my head, oh, no, 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 why did I do that? And I'll just never forget that Drew Lock said that. Like, that's not what I want my quarterback saying. I would much rather the leader of my organization be saying, like, literally anything else other than that.
Yeah, I mean, my issue is the same with either of these guys, and you gave a lot of the great skill position names there, too, but I mean, Pat Shurmur did not impress me at all as their offensive coordinator, and I believe Vic Fangio has the controls here. I think a really tough season is coming for Denver, but you're right. The beginning part of their schedule is good, but guess what? The teams who they play against, Davis, you know what they're saying? We got the Broncos. We should be able to win these first couple of games. So I'm kind of out on both of these guys, but I think Bridgewater ends up being the better quarterback over the course of the season. And I think Denver at the end of the year just blows the thing up and starts over again. That's a guess from me. All right. Plenty more to come here on the show on Fantasy Sports Today. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid. We got plenty more, including a conversation with Joe Pizzapia as we dive into the preseason games tonight. In addition, we've got the Sports Grid 60, Fantasy or Reality. So stay with us and stay on the grid. We're back in just 2 minutes with more Fantasy Sports Today. And in addition to that, headlines at the top of the hour with Chris. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The NFL preseason is here, and all of our hosts are talking about it here on Sports Grid. What if you miss any of our shows? Of course, you can catch them on demand. If you're looking for little clips now and then, 30 seconds a minute, just to kind of get the analysis and the opinions, here's what you do. You go on our social media on Twitter and follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. It is a really good vehicle and lets you behind the curtain of a lot of our shows on demand whenever you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Again, go to Sports Grid on Twitter, at Sports Grid, and also at Sports Grid TV. You'll see clips from our show, The Morning After, The Early Line, and all the other programming here on Fantasy Sports Today. Well, Davis, this is probably the last time we're going to get a huge edge on any of these upcoming futures and lines in terms of teams to win the division, because anything can happen in the preseason. Guys can get hurt. I mean, things can change so significantly and so quickly. So I thought it'd be a good exercise for us to dive into the divisions here, and we'll start with the NFC East today, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. I think probably the most interesting division to bet, because all the teams are bad, and when all the teams are bad, when every team has an Achilles heel, well, it makes for pretty interesting odds, especially if you have a lean.
Yeah, and I think that not knowing the health of Prescott makes this a little bit difficult. But even with knowing the health and assuming Prescott is healthy, I mean, the Cowboys, to me, I just cannot trust that. I can trust them in fantasy and reality. I mean, I could easily see them going 9-8. And when I look at the division here, they're at plus 130. I mean, I don't love them. I don't love Washington. I see Washington sitting here at plus 250, so 2.5 to 1. You got me off the Giants completely. I think that you nailed that. There's just too many issues going on there. And boy, Philadelphia, their win total on the season on FanDuel is 6.5. I must be missing something. Are they that bad that they're just completely out this year, that they're plus 470? I guess so. You know, I know a lot of people are in love with Washington. I just don't like any of these four teams. It's been a parity division the last 2 years. What stops this from being another parity division this year? 9-8 may win it.
I think 9-8 probably does win it because, I mean, the Cowboys have the best unit, right? Defense, offense, whatever. The Cowboys' offense is the best unit in this division. The Washington football team's defense is probably close. I actually think I would probably put the Eagles ahead of the Giants. I mean, everything going on in Eagles training camp, or Giants training camp, rather, makes it sound like the worst place on earth. Like, just makes it just seems like no one is having a good time. Seems like the players hate the coaches. Seems like the offense isn't doing its job. We've had guys retiring. So I think that the Giants are the team. Like, I would bet the under. I actually bet on them to have the worst regular season record. I think they're going to be terrible. I think this is kind of a two-team race between the Cowboys and the Washington football team. And of course, it all comes down to, can Dak stay healthy? If Dak plays 17 games, I think the Cowboys can win 9, 10 games pretty much no problem. You know, lots of 38, 35 games. I guess the interesting thing is the public seems to really be buying in on the Washington football team. But, like, let's not forget, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a good NFL quarterback. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was a good NFL quarterback, he would not be on, like, his 19th team. He's had a winning record once, and that was, to be fair, it was on a team very similar to this. It was back on those Jets teams where they basically had the best defense in football and teams just could not score any points against them. They have playmakers on offense, right? McLaurin, D'Ami Brown, Antonio Gibson. Like, they have some good players. But I just, like, look at, I mean, the Cowboys have Dak and Lamb and Cooper and Gallup. Like, they just are going to score so many more points. I cannot go for any other team in this division other than the Cowboys. But I don't know. The Cowboys don't even seem like a great bet, though. Like, it doesn't seem like a great division to bet.
No, you always pay some tax on them, too. And yeah, mm-hmm. I was going through these win totals last night with these teams, and it was like, can I pick the under on all four? Really the way I felt about it. Maybe Philly on the over, six and a half. Okay, let's go to the NFC North. Is there value on anybody outside of Green Bay? They're minus 145. Minnesota is plus 250. The Bears are 5-1, and Detroit is not winning this division, but they're listed here for fun. With Aaron Rodgers healthy, Davis, Green Bay has won 10 games or more, 9 in the last 10 years. So you know that they're going to be in this mix. Minnesota, they have their warts for sure. And certainly if anything should happen to this quarterback that they have one way or the other, they don't have any option to bring anybody else in and do well too. So it's like, I hate the chalkiness of this year. And I think the Bears could end up being better than the Vikings, but I'm not sure that the Bears have enough to beat out the Packers this year. Do you think so?
You know, I think it's thin. I would not be betting the Vikings. The Vikings are another team that is having a pretty tough training camp. It just does not sound like lots of good vibes going on in the Vikings training camp. We have, you know, Mike Zimmer is at war with his quarterback room because none of his quarterbacks want to get vaccinated. Mike Zimmer is not happy with them. We've had these guys missing. I think Kirk Cousins missed 11 days of training camp, which I guess is not really that big of a deal. But their offense is kind of fragile because Adam Thielen's going to be 31 years old. So they're, if Adam Thielen can't play, then you're talking about D.D. Westbrook has to play a big role. K.J. Osborne has to play a big role. I don't think any of us are, particularly looking forward to any of that happening. The Bears are the team that I remain optimistic and bullish on because I think Justin Fields is going to be that good. The defense is very solid. What's the problem with the Bears? It's the coach. You know, Matt Nagy has shown that he has done a lot of suboptimal things. Now, I don't know if I would call him a suboptimal play caller, but I guess my big thing with the Bears right now is, can we trust them to turn the reins over to Justin Fields early enough to actually turn this ship around? Because everything that Matt Nagy is saying, everything that the front office is saying, is that Dalton is for sure their quarterback, that Dalton is for sure going to start the season. Clearly, this is a terrible idea. It's just a bad idea for Andy Dalton to be playing over Justin Fields, but I do think they are going to do it. Again, this division does not seem particularly bettable for me. I don't think any of these numbers are great. Though, for me, I think the Vikings and Bears should be closer together, like maybe plus 350, plus 450. So I think the Bears are the best number, but this is not like a gold star play for me. The bet I do like for this division is just the Bears over on their win total.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm with you here a little bit. Not in love with this division. Now this one I even find tougher in the NFC South because there's one team I don't like at all, and the rest I don't think can win the division. So Tampa Bay is minus 185. They're the biggest favorite of any team that we're looking at in the NFC to win the division. I am out on the Saints completely. And I don't think the Falcons can win the division. And honestly, if I was doing this like 1-4 and I could make that bet for like an exact die, I may put Carolina second and take a shot with them. But I'm not going to bet minus 185 on Tampa Bay. And I'm planting my flag on the Saints, Davis. I don't see it. I think it's going to be a tough year for them. So you have any value here? Anybody else outside of Tampa Bay, or do we just move on to the West? What do we do?
I mean, yeah, Tampa Bay, is the team to bet here, because I'm with you on the Saints. I mean, the Saints have a lot of obstacles this season. Franchise Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees moves on. They're trying to figure out what to do between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Seems like, at best, Michael Thomas is going to play in week 7, but he's, like, posting weird quotes on his Instagram and on Twitter, like, you know, basically suggesting that he's at odds with the team. Sounds like Sean Payton doesn't even really want to play Michael Thomas. They also have Traquan Smith dealing with an injury. So, like, they're down to, like, Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, who, by the way, is suspended for 2 games. The thing I would say is clearly Tampa Bay is pretty fragile because all their players are old, right? Brady in his 40s, mm-hmm. Gronk, old, defense, got a lot of veteran guys. And anytime you're relying on tons of veterans, the cliff comes earlier than you anticipate. Like, veteran guys, once it's gone, it's gone. The milk does not unspoil. Now, I'm not saying that is going to happen for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but if you were going to point to a team, right? Drew Brees fell off a cliff, it happened. Peyton Manning fell off a cliff, it just happened. Brady looks good in the preseason, looks good in training camp and everything, so I'm not saying this is the most likely scenario, but I just am uncomfortable in general waging on the Buccaneers with all this, like, you know, 28, 29, 30-year-olds that they're counting on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and it makes sense, and that does happen. You just never know when it's going to, and Brady has not shown any signs of that. Okay, now this is the fun one here, because you rarely will see this. You go back 10 years, I don't think you'll ever find three teams that are this close to win the division, Davis. We got the 49ers at plus 190, the Rams at 2-1, and the Seahawks at basically almost 3-1, and Arizona 6-1, I give them no chance. So it is, even with their 6-1, I don't like it at all. So, man, like, this is really cool to see, because it means that any team can win. The best quarterback may be in Seattle. The best future quarterback may be in San Francisco. And the best offense may be with the Rams. And they may have the best defense too, by the way. So this is a really close call here. If Trey Lance is anything like they're saying he is, then the 49ers are going to win this division and may even win the Super Bowl. But, I mean, my gosh, it's like training camp. I don't know yet. I have to wait and see this out. What do you think about this division?
Yeah, this is the best division to bet if you have a lean. So you're right. Best quarterback, I think, probably in Seattle. But worst head coach, also probably in Seattle, you know, in terms of understanding what you need to win in modern football. I mean, maybe you'd say that Cliff Kingsbury is worse. Yeah. Cliff is bad in-game. Cliff is bad at, like, oh, I should go for it here instead of kicking field goals. But so that's true about Cliff to some degree, but it's also true that Cliff calls tons of passing plays. Cliff lets Tyler run. You know, Cliff, in a grander sense, he does understand that the offense and the team can only go as far as Kyler Murray is going to take them. And it feels like, for whatever reason, Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks are, like, unwilling to do that with Russell Wilson. They're unwilling to say, Russ, you're our guy. We're winning every game, scoring 40 points. We want to, you know, throw the ball over the field. The Rams, they have a great head coach in Sean McVay. But he, again, kind of like Cliff, is a little bit too conservative. They have the huge quarterback upgrade, Matt Stafford, over Jared Goff. The 49ers, I think you'd say, they have a great defense. They have a ton of playmakers on offense. And they have, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. They made the Super Bowl with him. And they have number 3 overall pick, Trey Lance. I am sort of the mind that things are going to have to get rocky for the 49ers in order to see Trey Lance. And I think they will get kind of rocky with Jimmy G. I like this Rams number. I mean, the Rams defense is phenomenal. And I've said all offseason, I've said Matt Stafford a lot better than Jared Goff. Love Cooper Kupp in fantasy. Love Daryl Henderson in fantasy. Love Robert Woods. Love Tyler Higbee, et cetera, et cetera. I think this Rams number is actually quite good. This is, of all the ones that we've discussed today, I do think Rams to win this division. Of course, there's loads of competition. You might have 4 teams with a winning record in this division, but I do think the Rams are very good, and I think they will win the division.
If I told you that Trey Lance wins the job in 2 weeks and they announce him as the starter from the beginning, would that change your opinion or no?
Yes, that would, because what that means is the coaching staff thinks there's just no way we can keep this guy on the bench. He's so good. He's throwing the ball so well. He's so accurate. He's so poised, because that to me says that he's even better than they thought when they drafted him. So I think that I would go to the 49ers if I knew Trey Lance was under center week 1.
Yeah, interesting to see. Maybe that'll happen. Doesn't appear that way, but you never know. Okay, we'll come back and wrap up this hour in about a minute from now. We've got Chris with the update at the top of the hour. We'll tell you everything that's going on in sports, in fantasy sports as well. Also, Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers chasing 500 home runs. And is he in the lineup today on the road to do it? We'll tell you next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For those of you betting, playing fantasy baseball, of course, the season continues. Many afternoon games going on today. Davis, one of them is the Tigers and Orioles, which in general is not one that you and I would watch. But Miguel Cabrera hit his 499th home run last night, and A.J. Hinch made the call today. They're in Baltimore, and Miguel Cabrera is sitting because they're going back home for a long homestand. And I got to tell you, Davis, this is something I like. I do like this. I like when the home fans who paid for the tickets, who have had a guy in their uniform for 10 years, can get a little bit of a reward. And so Miguel Cabrera, in all likelihood, will hit 500 over the next week or two in Detroit.
He will. I mean, I hope he does. You'd hope that we're not like dragging this thing out for, you know, the next, what do we got? We got about 65 days left of baseball in the regular season. You'd hope that we're not sitting there in the last week of the season. Miguel Cabrera is only playing home games. They're putting him on the bench every time they're on the road. They're only playing him at home games. Like, you would very much hope that we get things figured out before it reaches to that point. Because, like, it's very cool to hit 500 home runs. That's amazing. Miguel Cabrera, and a great player. He should play, you know, as long as his contract goes on. Like they should not be thinking about, you know, cutting him or whatever the way that Pujols did. I don't think it'll go that way. But, like, let's get this over with, Miguel. Like, let's go up to the plate and let's take our cuts, because September 3rd, I don't want to be talking to Craig about, all right, we're still waiting on him. Like, please, like, let's not have it go that far.
Yeah, they do have to make a decision. I think they owe him $50 million, so two more years of Cabrera, and he would be now he's at the point where he'd be a backup player, but arguably a top five fantasy baseball pick for about 10 years. I mean, that's incredible to think. Whether he qualified at third or first, this guy was amazing. Treble crown winner, MVP, amazing player, and played here in South Florida too. All right, headlines coming up at the top of the hour. We got Chris, then we'll get to more NFL preseason notes. Joe Pizzapia is going to join us here. So stay on the grid. We're back in just 2 minutes with hour two of Fantasy Sports Today.